Interstate Batteries has been a proud supporter of the Sportsman's Nation since day one. They offer just about every battery under the sun, from car and truck batteries to batteries for your trail cameras and rangefinders. Select retail locations even offer cell phone repair and cracked screen repair. Find a local retail location at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Welcome to the Land and Legacy Podcast. We're your hosts, Adam Keith
and Matt Dye.
This is your number one resource for all things land.
If you're interested in conservation, habitat management, hunting strategy, and rural real estate, this is the podcast for you.
All right, food plots. It's time to talk about food plots. Matt is here.
Everyone's like, food plots? Wait, they talk about that on this channel?
Yeah. What? They're going to bash him now. Turn it off. No, yeah. We're not. We're actually talking about our plans for the food plots this fall. You know, it's the latter part of July. And it is, I mean, we're staring kind of the door is now opening. Now, everybody's been doing trail cameras. And then, or most people, you know, Chad and I, we were so busy fencing and getting cows and doing things around. We were so late at getting cameras out this year, but we finally have them out, and we've had a few decent bucks show up, but we don't even have all of our cameras out yet. We've still been just trying to, logger moved in this week, or last week. I don't remember. We talked about it. Okay. We didn't, unlike a lot of weeks where we record back-to-back podcasts, we actually this week recorded a few days ago podcast one, and then now we're jumping in and recording the second podcast. So I was having a hard time remembering what we were, if we had talked about the loggers moving in, but we totally have because that was the whole topic of that podcast.
Exactly right.
And so, you know, the whole topic of this podcast is going to be fall plans for our food plots. Before we jump in there, though, we want to highlight somebody who, let's call him a habitat hero, a guy who is obsessed with habitat management and trying to improve their property and do better for the landscape. And he's celebrating the big 3-0. Today, or when this podcast releases on July 27th.
That's exactly right.
Matt, you worked with him, Mr. Nathan Lucas.
Nathan Lucas, happy birthday, buddy. We wanted to wish you a happy birthday. Your bride reached out to us and asked if we could drop a line, so absolutely happy to do so. Hope you guys hope you celebrate a wonderful birthday and get out there. I'm actually going to be have scheduled a trip to revisit the property and follow up on the property plan in April of next year. So excited to see you then, and enjoy a wonderful birthday.
There you go. Happy birthday, Nathan. So jumping into food plots, you know, it's been kind of for us over the last 3-4 years. We really haven't done, we developed these blends with Stratton Seed, and we are always tweaking. Like, there's stuff growing in our food plots right now that aren't even a blend. Like, it's just totally testing. We took part of a blend, or we took a blend, and then we added a whole bunch of other stuff. We're doing something to one of the blends. In fact, Chad just called me today, and phase one, his idea, which I'm not even sure I've talked to you about it, Matt, or maybe he's talked to you, but something that he had an idea on, and I'm like, do it. If you got time, do it. And so he completed that. And a lot of these experiments that we do, you may never even hear of, or you may see it come in the form of a bag in 2 years. But that's probably one of my favorite parts about food plotting. It's not about, like, I'm not a guy who says, I'm not the consultant who you hire, and then I show up and I'm like, you need this blend to kill these deer in this plot. You need to make sure you have this. To me, it's like, we just need healthy crops. I want diversity, but then I want bedding close. because that's my goal. Now, the reason for diversity is I want something that's attractive at the beginning of the season all the way to the late season. But I don't – I'm not that guy that's like, you gotta do this every year, because we tweak so much and we change so much about food plots and different blends and test and experiment different things that it's really hard for us to just say, yeah, I'm doing this every year. Like, I'm doing this till Jesus comes back. Like, you're going to come and see my plots and it's going to be a legacy blend, because if you think that would be the case, you'd be in for a rude awakening.
Yeah, and I think that people get like so caught up in the blending aspect of what's in this blend, what's in that blend, and really to the end degree, where I was talking, like, a good business talks about like their consumer, their customer, how do they service them, and I think that sometimes we need to rearrange our thought process on the whole food plot game and realize that we're not the customer in the situation. The wildlife that we're trying to feed is. And at the end of the day, if you have side-by-side comparisons and you're hunting over it, and we're talking about, you know, let's just say, for instance, the Legacy Blend next to Cattleman's Treasure, or then maybe next to Bounty Hunter, are you going to see this humongous difference in browsing pressures because they're only hitting one of the blends? Well, no, because there's a lot of the components that are similar throughout each one. It's just, how can we utilize those different compositions of plants growing at different times to accomplish, you know, different goals, overall goals, or maybe what's lacking in the neighborhood? If you're expecting neighbors to be planting heavy bulb type food plots, well, maybe I want to offer a little something different. It's we just have to realize, I think, at the end of the day, that we're not planting these things for ourselves. And I think the end goal can be boiled down to really simply, I want the diversity, like you talked about, and I want those plants to just be healthy individual plants, plant at the right rate out there in the field. The rest is going to take care of itself.
That's right. Yeah. I think, if there was one person, there's 100,000, or maybe not 100,000, let's say 50,000 people who, or 25,000 people. I'm not sure how many people plant food plots in this realm, but if there's one person who's put more emphasis on what they were planting rather than adding the appropriate amount of lime or fertilizer, or even fertilizing in general, and I'm guilty of this, fellas, like, and ladies, this is something I'm guilty of and have been guilty of for a long time. I'm trying to do things a little bit differently on a lot of the farm, but even though we've started adding lime and trying to amend the soil and get that pH brought up a lot quicker than we did 10 years ago, when it was just throw the seed out, what are we going to plant? Plant this.
Yes.
And I think there's so many guys who fall victim to that. It's like, I need to plant this, I need to plant that, I need to plant that. That's what the deer like, when they don't even think about soil amendments.
Well, like, I mean, you think about all the blends that we're talking about for fall, there's not a crop in them that deer like don't browse. Like, they're going to eat every single one of them. So you could plant just a field of winter peas and you're going to see deer in them, or a field of crimson clover, or wheat, just straight wheat. Every single one of those is palatable to deer at the right time of the year. And it's not like, again, we're planting these obscure plants that are like, well, thanks, well, deer going to eat them or not. No,
nope.
Everything in there is good. Just make sure it's a healthy plant, so it transfers that nutrient into that deer, so it feeds and provides, you know, quality forage for that deer, and they'll keep coming back. It's just that simple.
Yep.
And someone probably is out there like, man, you guys are really oversimplifying food plots, but I
oh,
think
man.
I think it's
I would probably
point,
take that as the biggest compliment out there.
Right? I would too. I'm like, what? But we have to, because really the food plot, if you will, game, really just gets taken down routes and avenues that are just way too far when you think about the end goal or who's consuming it. And we just don't need to, even worry about some of these things that we do. And I'm just going to amend the soil properly, plant it, hopefully ahead of a nice rain event, and you know, have other rains coming along to continue its growth. And then I'm just going to hunt it. Again, that's all I'm going to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess we're doing the podcast.
Yeah, no. Why do we – I don't know. I think that's one of the biggest things that people probably pick up when we talk about food plots is just that we feel like so many guys overcomplicate it, spend way too much time in it, and – probably think too much of their time, their brain time, brainstorming sessions revolves around the food plot when it's like, oh my gosh, like that's just the cherry on top. We should be thinking other places.
Sure.
So
exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
So what are some of your, I won't say, let's just say scenarios or situations that you and Chad are finding yourself into going into the fall of 2021 with various food plots? Maybe you've planted the heritage in some areas or beans, trying to control crabgrass, goosegrass mm-hmm. issues. Mm-hmm. Like, or I think some portions of the place, you might be in the next 6 to 10 months converting actually into pasture, diverse pasture. So like, you share a couple scenarios that you yeah. guys are in and how you're making the decisions of what to plant, and then I'll do the same.
Yeah, so I think one of the big scenarios for me, like you mentioned before, is right now on the family farm, we have a pretty heavy soybean monoculture food plot regime right now where we planted soybeans so we could spray them to prepare to hopefully knock back goosegrass and crabgrass one more time, because we're going to put Legacy in the ground. We're going to drill Legacy here in the next couple of weeks, and which do not let me forget to mention an update on all the seed sales and all the seed yep. shipping. But we're going to plant Legacy, which is a 12 species, probably 11 this year, species blend that has a lot of cereal grains, and we're planting it because we absolutely, I mean, it's called Legacy Blend for a reason, guys. Like, it's not just coincidence. We developed that blend with Stratton, and we just love it. We think it's an amazing blend, and so we're going to take that blend, put it in the ground, drill it in, and then sometime next spring, we're going to start grazing it, and we're going to move the cows in and start grazing it in certain pasture or certain when they're in certain pastures where it's open the gate and send them in and we can run one hot wire around it. We're going to graze our food plots and it's going to be trying to almost like mob graze where a lot of cows, small area, short period of time, yank them out of there. So there's going to be a lot of disturbance, a lot of manure and urine on the ground, so that's our form of fertilizer, and then we're going to yank them out of there. And with plenty of time for those plants to continue growing. So I'm anticipating that's going to happen sometime in March. And then
right.
and then we're going to turn around and graze it again to try to terminate sometime in May. But that's really the goal for Legacy. It's going to go in the ground probably sometime in August. And it's going to start providing food almost within 2 weeks, probably even a little bit before. And then we're going to have that being a very diverse blend with brassicas, annual clovers, winter peas, and cereal grains throughout the fall and winter.
Well, what's cool about, you know, incorporating, I think, the cattle into that realm, and this is, I don't want to go off on a tangent because this is a whole other podcast, but at the same time, if you're grazing at the appropriate time in the later spring, that second grazing application, then you could put cows in and still have a diverse fall food plot be available or used by wild turkeys during the spring. There's so many food plots these days, I will say, compared to, let's say, 5 years ago, I feel like, or probably 10 years ago, that a turkey could have utilized way more during the springtime opposed to nowadays where there's so much emphasis that feels like on rye
oh,
during
man.
A molting stage, man, it's just, it's a, it's a no-go zone for turkeys. And it's like, we have these food plots for wildlife usage and an attraction, and we're planting something that's not really attractive during a hunting season. So all that to be said, you can plant whatever you want to plant, but then you have this disturbance ahead or the first portions of turkey season. You graze it appropriately, you yank them off, and now it's grazed down, and voila, turkeys are back in it utilizing it.
That's right. And I like what you said there about cereal rye, because that's an ongoing conversation we have about the overemphasis of cereal rye and food plots now, where, you know, if I were ranking out cereal rye, wheat, oats, triticale, like the big four, let's say, of cereal grains, cereal rye is probably my least favorite of the four. I like triticale way more than I like cereal rye. And I think deer like it a lot more, too. And I think oats way better than cereal rye. It's not highly preferred. And then in the spring, it bolts. And you'll see the turkey's nest in it, but you certainly won't see toms strutting around in it later in the spring when it's chest high.
And remember,
it happens so fast, too.
A lot of turkey seasons are getting pushed back, people, too. Something that maybe you haven't experienced in a certain state, but that's something that's happening, whether you like it or not. And
yep.
So you may not have experienced it yet. But
you will.
You will if you're having really heavy rye or just really heavy small grain type food plots. So you do need that diversity, but also consider disturbances. And so I got a little sidetracked there, but I did want to make that point. And I like how the cow is coming back into the equation for emphasis and solving a problem. It's a solution. It's not the problem. It's a solution in this scenario.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's one of my big scenarios. The family farm, it's pretty much all legacy blend going in. And, you know, we're going to start going more into, we're hopeful that this is our last year of monoculture soybeans on the farm for most of it. You know, if we start having goosegrass problems again in the future, we'll address it with some form of herbicide, and it may go back to soybeans because we do love standing soybeans in the winter. But, you know, on my farm, I don't have food plots big enough to really withstand that. I did a few years ago, but it seems like the deer figured it out, and I just haven't had it the last few years. But, that's kind of the family farm, and then you go up on top on the Whistling Woodlands, I guess the west side of Whistling Woodlands. We had a part of food plots in Heritage, the deer absolutely torching it, which is great. So we're going to have a lot more thatch because we're going to go in and spray food plots and terminate and then drill in probably a mix of different things. And what I'm looking for is we're going to use probably in a lot of these small plots where we have heavier browse pressure, and it seems like a lot more deer activity, we're going to go more on the legacy blend because we have more species. Down in the bottoms where there's going to be a conversion, I'm going to use something else. But up top, we've got soybeans and Heritage. We're going to spray and we're going to put legacy in because these food plots are less than 2 acres. So I think for a lot of guys, if you're in an area where you have less than 2 acres of food plots and it's a lot of deer activity, you need to lean more on blends, not so much on monocultures. And, you know, I think there's a very good relationship between brassicas and cereal grains and even annual clovers, where they all can kind of lean on each other. And you know, one of the biggest misconceptions out there is that they're robbing nutrients from each other. Once again, where in nature do we find monocultures? It's not like, I picture, some people paint this picture that you've got all these microbes and fungi basically under the soil, in the soil, and they're like holding on to nitrogen molecules. Like, no, my nitrogen, my nitrogen. And there's another one going, my phosphorus, my phosphorus. When really it's a, I'll give you this for some of that. I'll trade you some of what I got for that because I'm good at mining this. And because we have healthy soil, that's really what's going on. And of course, if you plant too heavy, too many seeds per acre, they're all competing with each other.
Even if it's
the same species.
Yeah. And I think we should specify too, when we're talking diversity, we're talking about broadleaves. And when I say grasses, I mean small grains like wheat, oats, and in a blade stage for the fall. And then you have other clovers, or any combination of those, not just only the grass or small grains.
We got grasses, we got broadleaves, and we got legumes. And they're all working together, and they're all leaning on each other. And none of them are going crazy and just got it all. You know, some years you may see when you plant a diversity, you'll be like, well, it seems like more turnips this year than kale last year, or more turnips this year than wheat last year. The next year it's more annual clover and grains than there was turnips. We don't know why. Could have been seed depth. Could have been soil conditions.
Could have been rain.
Other variables. Rain. It could have been too much rain, not enough rain. But all we know is that because we planted diversity, we have a much better chance of having a beautiful green field and putting all our eggs in one basket with one species. And when we put it in the ground, it didn't work.
It's a built-in insurance package when you're planting, because there's variables that are out of everyone's control, period, bar none, every planting season. Yeah. Ask a farmer. Yeah. So it's kind of a way to get started out on the right foot by having options.
Yep.
For each scenario that could play out.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, up top, Whistling Woodlands, that's on the ridge tops. That's what we're doing. Down in the bottom, I have a couple of scenarios that we're going to be utilizing. And I should say, too, why we're not using Cattleman's Treasure instead of Legacy up top, since we're planning on grazing. Great question, if you were thinking about it. Cattleman's Treasure kind of falls to the wayside, it seems like. We don't talk about it nearly enough. Being three cereal grains and two amazing annual clovers, or three amazing annual clovers, depending on availability, it's a great blend. But I tend to like diversity, even more diversity than that. And I prefer Legacy over Cattleman's Treasure from a food plot standpoint. But Cattleman's Treasure is more of a budget-friendly. I take the very best of Legacy and I put it in a package. That's Cattleman's Treasure. And I'm just more on the lines of I want annual clovers and cereal grains, because that's what Cattleman's Treasure is about, is having more dependence on grass, being wheat, oats, triticale, cereal rye, versus a lot of the annual clovers, the brassicas, like we have in Legacy. So going down to the bottoms, in the bottom fields that I have, we're going to do two main things. We're probably going to use a mixture of a merge, which is just a whole bunch of annual clovers and some cereal grains mixed in. And that's because we're trying to really see what those annual clovers can do when we plant more pounds to the acre. Not so much brassicas. I feel like we got brassicas, and this is where we're having diversity, but we're having destination forage. And what I mean by that is, so part of the bottom fields are going to be Bounty Hunter, which has more brassicas, cereal grains, while Emerge is more annual clovers. So we get to monitor what time of the year deer prefer one versus the other, and if that even occurs. Like Matt said earlier,
if it's noticeable.
If it's noticeable, yes. Because, yes, certain varieties, we all know that brassicas are more preferred post-frost than they are early in the season. But early in the season, oats do really well in October for a lot of guys versus wheat later in the winter. So they all kind of have their peak performance time when they're most palatable and when they're most selected by the deer. So we're going to kind of monitor with those two things. And Bounty Hunter being a lot more affordable, and they're all affordable. That's one of the things we love about Stratton. But Bounty Hunter is a lot cheaper variety, cheaper blend than the Legacy or Cattleman's Treasure. So you can plant a lot of acres with Bounty Hunter and be a lot more budget conscious. So one of our bottom fields that's going to be converted to pasture is going Bounty Hunter this fall. And Matt, you know, you and I haven't even had that conversation yet, but you know, we've had a very wet summer this year. This spring and summer, we've had pretty good rains. And you go
we've had excellent rains.
Well, phenomenal. Yeah, we've had great rains.
It's been a wonderful growing season.
And the thing about it is, when I think about every year, you take the 12-month calendar and you say, okay, it was really, really wet. We had lots of flooding this month. Most years, take a 5-year average, it all about averages out. So if you get a lot of rain during one part of the year, it probably gets pretty dry during the other part of the year. And I have a gut feeling that we're in for a dry fall. So I'm not wanting to invest a whole bunch of perennial grass seed and other mixes, other species that are going to be in that pasture mix. I'm not ready to put that in the ground this fall, believing that we're in for a pretty dry fall. It's been really dry the last 4 years. And it's kind of shaping up to be. Yeah.
It's been rough.
September's been our driest month over the last 4 years. September, October has been horrible. And I'm not willing to invest pasture mix seed into that. So we're going more of the Bounty Hunter variety. Annuals, which, you know, a perennial goes in the ground, starts to grow. It'll be like, no, I got to live for a long time. I'm going to save my energy. And annuals like, this is my only shot. Let's do it. And
give them my best.
Yeah, we're going to put annuals in the ground. And then by next spring, we'll seed in our pasture mix. So that's kind of the plan. In a nutshell, we're going to be utilizing everything but, I believe, Cattleman's Treasure.
Gotcha. Well, that's the cool thing about having, you know, different parcels to be able to talk about and find different scenarios for each one of these blends. Although, again, deer are going to eat every single one of them. Each one of the balances of the species in the blend lends itself to maybe another element like cattle or another element like future plantings and the window and time that you would plant those future plantings. So each blend, again, we try and think of them as a tool and how can we best utilize each tool and their specifications of it for what we're trying to achieve. So for me, as I'm looking out the back window, there's a 4-acre, let's say, and just imagine a 4-acre square that's just a hay field right now. The hay's going to be cut and then will be sprayed. And around an eastern or a northern border of that field, that 4-acre field that's going to be converted into food plots, is going to be a 20-ish yard wide strip of the revival that's going to be planted. So It's a fire break essentially around an old field in a woodlot, as well as just having a perennial base into that 4 acres, and then the next or the remaining portion of those acres is going to be broken up into Legacy and Bounty Hunter. So long term plan for what would be about 3.5 acres is to have potentially a portion, probably an acre to acre and a quarter of alfalfa planted in the back, just to watch and see how that as a perennial crop will do. So with the alfalfa, the other option or advantage of planting that from a long-term standpoint is the ability to go back in and interseed into that alfalfa, almost use that as a base, a perennial base to plant other crops into both the fall and growing season. So doing a little bit of experimenting with that, but just not wanting to put the eggs and investment into that basket this fall, not knowing what this rainfall situation is going to look like, and just based on the last couple of years and how much we've gotten in this spring and into the summer. So that's going to be a portion of Bounty Hunter this fall. And then the other remaining portion of the 3.5 acres is going to be a Legacy. So there's going to be lots of diversity. You know, we'll have side by side comparisons, but really it's just going to be a 3.5 acre smorgasbord of wheat, rye, triticale, tubers, annual clovers, and then perennial clovers bordering all of that as well. That's going to be the main hunting portion in the back. And up front is going to be, we're doing actually a pasture renovation, spraying out a very heavy fescue-based pasture. Half of it is going to be in an annual production, so that's going to get sprayed out this fall, and then is going to be planted in the Cattleman's Treasure, which has got small grains and annual clovers in it as well. And then as cows come into the scene next spring, the group will graze on that. And then I'll probably go in and plant an ancestry blend type forage, so growing season annuals into that plot, and allow cows to be able to forage both on fescue, but then take a rest from the fescue, graze on this growing season forage, the annuals, both spring and fall annuals during the right times of the year. So just in kind of incorporating that into the mixture as well. But then two, although that may not be a main hunting location at all, it's probably gonna be a lot of nighttime activity just based on its proximity to the house. It's not a very secure place. I kind of want it to also be this like extension out from the main hunting source to try and pull a little bit more deer activity and wildlife activity from what I think is outside of my border and into some other woodlots that are kind of close by this location. So kind of utilizing that as a little bit of a pull, and hopefully they're going to find the bedding thicket and the preferred cover, the sanctuary, security, and additional food as well. So it has a lot of different components to it. But both utilizing for pasture renovations, cattle, and then this extension, and off to the side of that, close to the small pond on the property in an east facing slope, there's going to be a quarter acre to three tenths of an acre, fescue removal, and then planting into the perennial base of Revival Blend that ought to do really well with this, this shaded north slope, small opening. I think that its proximity to the pond honestly would be a good future hunting location, with the right cover close by. So all those components kind of going into what this fall is going to look like for me, planning on drilling everything, but do need to take care of the hay first, but then we'll get into the drilling, amending, and fertilizing appropriately. So hopefully we'll get the rains and we'll have a lot of food honestly packed in on 35 acres. So it'll also be cool to see just how much pull we can get with high quality groceries out the back door.
No doubt. You know, that's one thing, talking about all this seed, it's important that we bring up kind of what this ordering, if you're ordering from us or Stratton, kind of what you look forward to. And we've already had some orders, but the first round of Legacy that's going out, they've been dealing with some inventory issues with a couple of the annual clovers because of backed up harvesting time, limited supply, because obviously there's many parts of the country where you can't grow this for a seed harvest to then resell the seed. It's grown in the Northwest, kind of Oregon, Washington, and that's why you see that a lot in your seed tags when you do get them. You'll see that it's all from, or a lot of it comes from Washington and Oregon. So been a little bit of a short supply of a couple of them. So Fixation Blanca that's in Legacy and Cattleman's Treasure that we really like so much, it's going to be delayed a little bit. So the first round of Legacy is going to have Persian clover, which is kind of a new annual clover that's come on from the same area, the same region. It seems to be a little bit more shade tolerant than the other, and has a different maturing time. So it's still a great, everything seems to make it seem like a great, and all the research that they've done out there makes it seem like a great annual clover. So that is happening with the first go around of Legacy.
I wouldn't be surprised with the research that we've done, the what it looks like on paper, you know, its specifications and how it performs, that it might be a substitute right now, but it might find a more permanent home in some of these blends based on what we're reading and seeing, the growing tendencies and rates of this Persian clover. So again, it's a temporary deal right now, but it's not stopping me from moving forward with Legacy at all on this point. I'm actually excited to see how it performs.
Yep, for sure. And then the other thing I want to mention is when it comes to ordering on our site, I feel like I say this every growing seed or every time we're selling a lot of seed, but when you order on our site, you're going to see the price, and then you're going to see different shipping variables to where you can calculate shipping. And in the red letters, you'll see free shipping. Click here. This is for a custom seed invoice to be sent later. And I'm saying this because my wife is the one who usually handles our store with seed sales and communicating back and forth with Stratton. And so if you order the seed, click the free shipping. That does not mean the shipping is free. Because of the platform we use, Shopify, we cannot create a custom that's like, oh, this is going to be easy. You ordered this amount and that, because we sell everything from a 4.5, 4.25 pound jug to 2 pallets to ship to West Virginia. Or
the weight variation is so big.
Oh, my gosh. Just yeah. And
it's got to be generated outside.
It has to be generated, because what Stratton does is then they go to a couple different third parties. They get the cheapest quote, and then they send that back to us. Then we send it to you, and you say yay or nay. I am okay with that shipping cost, or I'm not okay. If you're not okay with it, then we give you a full refund. If you are good with it, we then tell Stratton. They tell third party. They put it on the truck. Out the door goes to you. Sounds complicated. It is complicated, but it doesn't take that long to make all that happen, because my wife is in charge of that, not Matt and I. That's why it runs right. Smoother than Matt and I trying to communicate seed sales.
But it's important to note that when you have to specify or you click on the free shipping, it's not actually free. It's essentially, just think of it as a button to move you along.
Yeah, so you're going to make a purchase of seed, and then you'll wait for the custom invoice to come back, and you say you approve it or not. It's easy as that. 2021 looked like higher shipping costs. I know they are higher because everything's higher in 2021. Inflation, baby. But it's not as high. Recently, Matt, we sent one that we thought, that's going to be high. It wasn't that high. It was like $47 right. bucks to ship it from across the a state. So it was in another state, not out in Arkansas. So anyway, guys, that's how it works. We appreciate all the seed sales that you guys, my goodness, you guys keep us busy with seed sales, and clients keep us busy with product sales. And it's been feels a little bit like right now I'm running a custom trail camera shop in my garage for all the clients, but and all the cardboard and shifting and reboxing and packaging. So didn't realize I'd have that on my resume one day. But anyway, we appreciate you guys listening. Hopefully you're going to be having some rains coming throughout planting season this fall, and there's already some good deer on your trail cameras. We appreciate everything, and we'll catch you next week.
Yep. All right, guys, we'll see you.